be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Praise you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. A person who is trustworthy in very small matters is trustworthy also in great ones. The person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If you therefore are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you're not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. The Pharisees who loved money heard all these things and sneered at him. And he said to them, you justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is of human esteem is an abomination in the sight of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today continues what Jesus began yesterday in the parable of the dishonest steward. He draws several lessons there, but perhaps the most important was that we have to choose whom we're going to serve. Cannot serve both God and mammon. No servant can serve two masters. This was a real practical problem in the Roman Empire. When you were a slave of a master who died and he had two sons, and both now thought they were the master. And one would tell you, I want you running left, and the other would say, I want you running right at the same time. Anybody who's had two jobs at the same time where the duties overlap feels this pressure. And Jesus is saying to us very clearly, we can't serve both God and material reality. We can't have two different gods. We really must choose and focus and then turn everything into that singular service. With regard to God and money, either we use God to serve money and pray for our next deal, etc., or we'll use all the stuff of this world in order to be able to serve God. St. Martin de Tours, whom the church celebrates today, was someone who had to make that choice. His father was a famous officer in the Roman army. He got his son into the army at 15 on a clear career path to fame. But he was being called to something else. And eventually realized that he needed to leave the army in order to serve the real King of Kings. He had become a catechumen, but was delaying baptism, because in the theology of the 4th century, if you committed any serious sins, penances weren't three Hail Marys. 10 years of fasting, for example, if you had taken somebody's life. So he delayed, but while he was doing duty up in Amiens, in the north of France, as he was patrolling the city at night, he saw a shivering beggar at the city gates. He was shocked that nobody would care for this man who was practically naked and freezing to death. So he dismounted, he got down, he took out his large Roman lands, and this beggar likely would have thought that his life was about to end. But then he took off his huge Roman kappa, the kappa magna, that would keep them warm. And he used his sword to cut it in half. He vested the beggar with half of that very warm kappa, and he used the other. And that night, Jesus appeared to him in a dream and said, Martin, still a catechumen, has clad me in his own garment. Martin recognized the way that he was being called to serve the Lord with all his heart, which was to serve in his neighbor, especially those who are in most need. Today, at the end of the Gospel, the Pharisees, who are the great fakers, who at the same time as they were fasting 3 days a week, paying a tithe on all their income, were plotting with their archenemies, the Herodians, to murder Jesus. They loved money. They were pretending as if they were servants of God, but they were really drawn and quartered. They sneered at Jesus for his call to singularity, but Jesus said, "You justify yourself in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts." What does the Lord see in our hearts? Are we really single-hearted in our service or not? Today he wants to help us if that's the case. This is a summons mercifully to conversion. But he really does want wholehearted service. Today, in the last part of these 4 weeks on the letter to the Romans in the first reading, St. Paul names 24 figures, all of whom were single-hearted in their service to the Lord, just like he was. He said at the very end of his writing that the whole purpose of his letter was to bring all nations to the obedience of faith, not this external rigid obedience, but this interior loving obedience in which one wants to listen so attentively to God that we follow every word that comes from his mouth. Throughout his letter, that's what St. Paul was summoning us to do. We mark the 500th anniversary of the Reformation in Romans 3:28, what the real meaning is of being just with God. That it's a gift of God's grace, received in faith, that is responded to with works of love. That the real way that we are right with God is through our obedient service and love. Later on in the letter, describes life according to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that gift continuously of grace to help us to love like that. The beginning of chapter 12, which starts St. Paul's moral theology, offer your bodies, offer all that you are as a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God, the only worship that makes sense, your logic eletreia. And toward the end, he makes that very concrete. He gives us 20 verbs, 20 imperatives that we need to do. But I think they're all summarized by one of them. Let your love be sincere. Don't fake it. And then he said, love one another with affection, which is the call, really, to become Martin of Tours to the various beggars that we see around. He also said, owe nothing to anyone except the duty to love each other. You probably know that, well, some of you know that 6 days a week I celebrate Mass for the Sisters of Life in New York. I've got two different convents there that I help out. There's just a heaviness in that community. If you're working constantly during the days of 40 days for life, some babies are saved, many aren't saved. There can be great struggles. But I started to notice with so many transitions in the house that there was a heaviness there, that many were suffering. And yet there they were in a house full of people dedicated to the Lord, and some would question whether God was really loving them close. And I challenged them to put St. Paul's words into practice, that if we're really right with God, we're going to be obedient servants of love toward each other. On this Feast of St. Martin, tonight when you're dreaming, Jesus wants to appear to you in a sense and say, somebody else here in this house was vested with your spiritual maternity, with your fraternal care. Somebody else was made to smile by your smile. Somebody else was served in a deep way. This is the great way. When Jesus says, I have come to be the servant of all the rest, and the one who will be greatest among you will imitate me in that. That among you is so important. Everything, the kingdom starts right here, not out there. At the very end of his life, St. Martin was dying. He had gone to try to reconcile dispute between the faithful and their priests. And after the dispute was settled, he was on a deathbed. He had announced that he was going to die, and he was starting to get bed sores. And they noticed that he was in pain because of lying on one side for so long. And they said, Father, please let us turn you over so that you're not in so much pain. He said, let me be, so that I can keep looking upward. and see my master who is coming. Today, as we prepare to look at that same master, the Lamb of God who takes away our sins and fills us with himself, let us ask through St. Martin's intercession to keep our eyes always on the master and to recognize the master takes the disguise, not just of beggars at city gates, but of consecrated women in Regnum Christi. Praise be Jesus Christ.